Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do this.
All right. I got a little bit of a scratch in my throat.
So. Me too. My allergies are just killing me this week, so.
Well, we're like 20 seconds in, I'm like, oh, I got a cough.
Oh, no. We're 20 seconds in, I'm just like, I don't want to strain to talk anymore.
It's going to be a long.
Because usually, like, on these, when I'm on weeks I'm feeling like this, I'd be like, you know what? Joel can carry the podcast this week. Because I carry the podcast so much on a week-to-week basis, I figured this one week is going to be the week I give Joel a bone.
You don't carry Jack.
Yeah, pretty much. There's one thing that is super important that plays exactly into something that we talk about fairly week-to-week. But I know specifically we talked about this last week, and it just happened. That another instance of this happened this past Monday night. So Triple H came out to say something at the end of Raw this week.
Yeah.
It was important enough to interrupt
Seth Rollins.
Seth, okay? And then Triple H was interrupted again.
Yeah.
And over the course of that, the final moments of the night, he was never allowed to revisit what he was going to say. So what was Triple H going to say?
What was it?
Add that to our freaking list.
What was it even, like, pertaining to?
I don't know. Like, he felt like he needed to interrupt somebody.
Yeah.
And so he interrupted Seth, I believe. It was Seth.
Yeah, it was Seth. Okay. Seth came out. Well, so Seth beat Ziggler off the distraction.
Yes.
Triple H came out, said congratulations, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Said this is the man who beat him, and Seth took the mic back.
Right. Or he was about to say something, and then Seth just yoinked him.
Yeah. So I don't know if I'm going to sleep well at night, because I lie awake at night often enough, being like, what was Triple H going to say?
Right.
I'm going to assume that he was basically going to continue congratulations and basically just a state of the authority address, you know, we're still strong and together and everybody's best friends again.
I guess. I don't know. Triple H has been in like a weird gray area lately. Like, he'll like admonish people for doing bad stuff. And I don't know. It's one of those things where he's like, he was siding with Kane and Kane was being a good guy for a little bit. And then he like was like, you know, lol, nope.
Well, so there was a lot of interesting stuff, like, this week specifically, where, like, the heel character, and Seth is really leaning into the smarmy heel.
Yeah.
He's doing a good job of it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I feel very comfortable saying best since Edge, of, like, the ultimate opportunist kind of thing. Seth's also been really good about, like, saying things in just such a way to get, like, that extra boo, and, like, he's handling it well. Like, he just stood up and was like, here's an apology. I've been acting out of line, and I'm sorry for doing that. I respect what you've done to help me further my own career.
Right.
And I was like...
he took another little dig at Kane at the very end.
The thing's like,
And Kane came out.
It didn't last long.
No.
But, like, that was like, okay. Well, good job for you. Triple H did this thing where, like, he was talking about, like, how to, you know, to be the man on this show, on this program, you gotta, you know, step up, you gotta put yourself on the line every night, da-da-da. And I'm like, that is like some very John Cena can-do attitude level of, like, what it means to be the face of this company.
Yeah.
I mean, so, I don't know how to feel about this.
Yeah, pretty much.
Who am I supposed to boo?
I don't know. Ever since WrestleMania, I just don't know what they're really going to do with Triple H.
Yeah.
I mean, but then again, he hasn't really been around
much. I mean, this
is
the first time Triple H has been on since WrestleMania.
Has it?
Yeah, they said that. Like,
Here's the thing. They say that. But how accurate is that usually?
Well, he wasn't at London.
Well, yeah, because they're on vacation or whatever.
Yeah, because Kane was in charge.
Right.
The authority wasn't there that night.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really pay attention to exactly when Triple H is and isn't on the show. But,
yeah.
Sure, okay. But yeah, I just add that to the list of things that we will never know.
What Triple H is going
to
say.
But shout out to at Evil Jack Lopes. He did tweet at Triple H for us and told him that he was the best ever. But he didn't spell, he didn't misspell your.
Oh.
You're the best.
Oh. Okay, so as a... Here's honestly the thing that I've been thinking about watching Raw this week.
Okay.
You have two guys in Big Show and Kane that are kind of in the same boat. Well, they've been going... We have seen their careers span 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
But they can still go in the ring, you know? Like, it's not great Kali levels of, like...
Painful to watch. Kind of thing. Yeah. They can do the basic stuff. Yeah. Yes.
I mean, and
at least we know Kane can. Well, Big Show, sometimes we're not so sure.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, Kane, I'll go to bat for.
Yeah.
Kane is a solid worker to this day. But, like, even Big Show, like, has been impressive as recently as last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not... It's, you know, we don't have to reach way back into the past to find, you know, quality Big Show matches. They're not common, but part of the reason they're not common is that he's so often used for not that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So the ratio is skewed.
Right.
But that's the thing, at the same time, like, both of them have kind of had the, you know, bulk of their run.
Mm-hmm.
So we know we're at the end. But we know they can still go. We know that they can be reliable.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, how do you use those? I mean, you have two incredibly seasoned veterans on your roster who are both big guys, who right now are both heels, both working for the authority. So you have that. So how do you best utilize those guys for the remainder of their career? And will either one of them ever be WWE champion again? One more time in their career?
No.
No to both?
I don't think they will.
Okay.
Honestly, I mean, Big Show, he went like 10, 15 years without a major championship, I think. You know, world heavyweight in WWE. And I think Kane, too. They're one of those guys where, like, they're a credible threat. Because of, you know, their size and, you know, the ability that they still have and everything.
Because of their history.
And their history. So they're, like, they're guys that, like, they come with all this weight to their name to where they don't really need a championship.
Yeah.
Now, as far as, like, how do we go forward with them beyond this, it's I don't know. It's one of those things that's, like, how much longer do you want them? You know?
Yeah.
If you can... say that, you know, they're okay with them wrapping up their career within, like, the next 6 months to a year, then they can use them a lot. But if they want to elongate that, then you use them sparingly. I think they're kind of getting overused right now.
Yeah.
Both
of them?
Yeah, because, I mean, like, do we really need a pay-per-view match between Big Show and Roman Reigns? We've gotten that match, like, every other week. Sometimes it felt like every week, both on Raw and SmackDown. Well, you know?
Well, that's the problem.
It's just one of those things where it's like, I feel like we're oversaturated with Kane and Big Show from the past few months.
I do feel like, you know, I bring this up because I don't think they're being used correctly.
No, I'm not saying they're not being used. I agree, they're not being used correctly. I feel like they're being... overused.
Well, here's I don't know if that's true.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that you take the Big Show and Roman thing, that problem is that we have seen that so much so frequently.
Yes.
I think it's perfectly acceptable for Big Show to get a match on a pay-per-view. I don't think he needs to sit this one out, quote-unquote.
No. Yeah.
Especially since he's a fairly hot property right now as much as Big Show can be.
Big Show will go through these phases where he'll work, you know, constantly for a few months, and then he'll take a few months off.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So... It's one of those periods where, like, yeah, Big Show is going to be on pay-per-view. I get that. Fine. It's just, you know, the other shows, the Raws and the SmackDowns, it feels like it's too much. And maybe it's just because I don't know if they have any other go-to monster heels that aren't Rusev. Because Rusev is kind of busy doing his own thing.
Yeah.
They want these guys associated with the authority, and they want the authority to be such an imposing figure that has a hand in everything, blah, 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 blah. So the, you know, so in turn, we'll get, like, more Seth Rollins, but we'll also get, like, more Kane's Big Show because of it.
I get you want a giant on the team. And yeah. I get that. And you know what? That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rusev's busy. You didn't like Mason Ryan for some reason.
And he doesn't work for the company anymore.
I know, that's what I'm saying. You didn't like him, so you sent him away, so he can't be it.
Mm.
But it's okay, fine, it's Big Show, or it's Kane.
Mm.
But
and it's also one of those things where it's like, well, if not them, then who?
Yeah.
I mean, Mark Henry, he's working a limited schedule, you know, and deservingly so. He's been doing this for a really long time, and honestly, he probably wouldn't be able to do, you know, a lot of matches in one, you know, spree because he'd probably break something.
Right.
Walking to the ring again.
But, I mean, what is... I brought up the titles because not because like either one of them need them. They have history and size, right, and nothing else to present a credible threat always when they enter the ring.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of like a one last hurrah or a show of respect for them. I think both of them, you know, despite, I mean, I'm not wild on Big Show. I don't think most of us are. Well, part of it is they both kind of got, like, these please retire chants
right
recently. And I was like, you know what?
Or at least Big Show did. I don't know if Kane did.
Well, I don't feel like that's the best way. Because I don't need him to retire.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's not... That chant is not expressing exactly what I feel. That it's expressing... Mm-hmm. It comes from the same sentiment, but it's not right expressing exactly what it feels. So I was like... What is the best way to send these guys off into the final year or so of their career?
I don't know. I will say I think Kane has at least one more run with the mask.
Yeah.
I feel like when he does come out with a mask, he's probably going to be a face.
Yeah. Do you think he's going to mask up right like pretty soon? Because it looks like
he's on his
way to breaking ties with the authority. And do you think that will cause a masking?
I do feel like we're on the verge of going back to it.
Okay, here's the question.
And then we're probably going to get a Kane versus Big Show match.
Do you think that the episode where that happens will have Kane come into Stephanie's office, yell at her, and she goes, "I own you," and points to the mask in the glass cage? Then at the next hour break, her and Triple H will be talking, and they'll go, "Where's the mask?" And they'll look over, and the case will be empty.
Oh, God, I hate that you said that, because now it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. That's exactly how it's going to happen.
And then, of course...
And Kane is going to interrupt the main event in the mask, and Tombstone, whoever the authority avatar is in the ring at the time.
Honestly, a better way to do that is for Kane to finally, you know... quit or put in his 2 weeks' notice or whatever, and then, like, maybe a month or so, not show his face, no nothing. And then out of nowhere, comes in, masked, when he came back against John Cena and the whole dumb embrace the hate thing or whatever.
No, I remember, it was dumb.
But his return was pretty fantastic. I remember a lot of people being very excited about that. The double mask thing, maybe a little bit of...
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a little bit.
I was excited. I was excited he was back in the mask, because...
Right. But then again, it had been a long period of time.
8 years of no mask.
So there was a lot of excitement with that. So I'm thinking something along those lines, and then aiming his return attack or whatever at Big Show or whatever.
Yeah. And he's not been out of the mask long enough to justify a whole new mask.
Right.
Like, I'm just... Go back to the Ninja Turtle-looking thing. The one that he had before.
Like, the original one? Because that one looked like it was hard to breathe.
No, not that one. No, the one that he had in 2012. The Embrace the Hate one. Like, literally the most recent one.
Yeah. You think he should go back...
Yeah, I just think he should go back to that one. He should just put that one back on.
That's fine.
I don't need a whole new mask for...
And we can go ahead and just, you know... get rid of the whole disbelief and just... He can get rid of the wig, right? Right?
No, I like the wig.
But why?
I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know. We all know
it's a wig.
I don't know why I like the wig, but I do like the wig. It adds to the ambiance of the character.
Okay, all right. I want to pose this to our listeners on Twitter. Make sure you follow us at CRSHire. Tweet at us and give us how you feel about this wig, because I feel like Joel might be in the minority on this. I'm not a big fan of the wig.
I mean, that's... I'm not saying, like, it's not fooling anyone.
And why is the wig always soaked?
Because it's wrestling hair, and wrestling hair has to be soaked.
I guess so. It just looks better.
Yeah, I mean...
Well, yeah, that's the whole reason. Like, it looks better, and it helps keep them, you know, cool during a match.
Yeah, and, you know, they might have tried that mask initially without hair, and then been like,
yeah.
Let's add some hair to that. Grow your hair out real quick. Lynn Jenkins is like, I can't do that. I'm a human.
He's like, you know how old I am? Come on, guys.
And so they went to the wig.
I mean, because I did see, like, it was some video where, like, it was around the time we thought he might run for office in Tennessee.
Yeah.
And he had, like, a weird, like, ponytail. And it clearly wasn't the hair that he had when he had the mask on. It was just weird. It was like he was trying to grow it out so eventually he wouldn't have to wear the wig. And no.
Yeah.
Just no.
Yeah, no, I remember that. I do remember that.
Mm.
So I think... Do you think Kane will have some sort of effect on the outcome of the match?
For
Extreme Rules.
I mean, we'll get to our... For a second, I was thinking, like, why would he have... And then you're right, he's doing the dumb...
Yeah, he's the keeper. He's the gatekeeper.
I am a gatekeeper.
I mean, it's totally...
The keymaster, excuse me. I screwed that up.
I mean, it is, yeah, it's the keymaster and the gatekeeper.
Well, who's the keymaster, then? Charles Robinson? I know there's, like, a whole lot of...
Whoa. You do get, like, the keymaster gatekeeper was, like, a sex joke, right?
Yes. Which is funny.
I need to explain Ghostbusters?
Welcome to Ghostbusters cast. This is Joel. I'm Chris. I clearly have not seen the movie in a very long time. But yes, no, I get it. It was a sex thing. Just like the number 69. I get it. It's okay.
All right. God, I'm totally lost right now.
Okay, so Kane's involved.
Yeah, before this week, I was pretty set on, you know, I was like, oh, Randy's gonna lose through some shenanigans because they're not ready to take this belt off Seth and da da da. But then with the Kane thing, I was like, well, there's the Kane thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I feel like this easily leads to a payback match between Kane and Seth. Like, that's an easy thing to do. But
that would mean...
That would mean that...
Seth would retain them. Because if not, then... Seth gets a rematch at Payback.
Well, he can re-invoke his rematch. Or he can invoke his rematch on Raw. Like, it's fun.
WWE regularly likes to do that.
Though. No, I know.
They've done it. They're doing it now with Brock, and they did it with Randy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess that's a good time to just jump into our predictions. Though.
Yeah, we can do predictions. All right. So, time for official predictions. First up... We have the pre-show match, which is New Day versus the Upper Cats.
Yeah. So is New Day, are they heels now? They're acting like it. Oh, no, they're kind of acting like it. It's like
they are faces that use heel tactics. No,
yeah, there you go. Because I was about to take it all back because, yeah, the move that Xavier Woods did to get them to win the match was... Incredibly heel tactics, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's one of those things, and I'm hearing rumors that they're going to have Kid and Cesaro work as faces based off the reaction they got on the European tour.
I'm totally fine with
that.
I've cheered for them forever. I'm happy for everybody else to do it.
Right. As far as this match goes, I don't know. Because it's easy to put the belts on New Day because it feels like they're gaining some momentum with this new direction that they're taking.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to say that they win because I feel like if they lose, that really just gives them more fire to work with, go full heel.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go and say Uppercats.
I'm going to go Uppercats too because I feel like it's going to need one more month.
Yeah.
Like I feel, and that's the part of the thing, and it's actually really kind of sad because I was looking at it and I was like, oh, it's the tag team match, must be the pre-show. Because it feels like that's literally what the pre-show is now. Is just,
tag team match.
Here's the tag team titles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's all that happens. That happens on every pre-show. That's the only thing that happens on the pre-show. Which is kind of a sad bummer. But I feel like I can see this and be like, yeah, this is going to have a rematch at Payback. And that's when it's going to happen. I feel like it'll have been the right amount of time then.
And like I'm saying, like, New Day is pretty much already heel. You know?
Yeah.
So it's not like it's going to be a big turn or whatever, but
needs that one final push off the ledge
to where they go full bad guy mode.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to Dean Ambrose versus Luke Harper in a Chicago street fight.
Are they in Chicago? They are in Chicago.
They are in Chicago. It would be really weird if they were like in Milwaukee.
Well, because it's just a street fight that is happening to take place in Chicago.
Well, yeah, then they'll name it after whatever famous street is in the area, or after the city, or they'll have a Nashville street fight with guitars and bass drums.
Wasn't that a Broadway fight?
Yeah, because that was like the main road in Nashville was a Broadway street, which made absolutely no sense to like anyone outside of Nashville. Yeah. Everyone else is like, Broadway, what are they in New
Broadway's
York?
Broadway's in
like,
New York, you guys.
What, are they going to have like Rockettes come out and super kick people?
I'm going Dean.
I'll agree with you on that.
Okay. All
right, it's just one of the things, like, whenever they have, like, street fights, then, you know, the wrestlers always come out with, like, you know, street clothes or whatever, and I was like, and for a second I was like, yeah, I wonder how, if Dean and Luke are going to change their, oh, wait, that's what they always wear. Never mind.
Yeah, they don't have wrestling gear.
They've been ready for a street fight their entire lives.
That's the secret. It's always a street fight.
All right, Hulk.
Honestly, emotionally, this one can go either way. I think both of the guys could stand a win. I think that they, you know, in some ways that's the perfect thing, is like, if this is a feud that could go either way, and it's going to be a good match. It's probably going to be one of the better matches on the card. You know, I would like to see Dean Ambrose continue to climb the metaphorical ladder.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to see him buried under too many losses in a row.
Right. I agree. I tend to go with Dean, partly because it's what, you know, it's what the heart wants.
Yeah.
And, you know, for Luke, they'll go, it's like they don't really know what to do with Luke sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're halfway into this feud and half not. Like, it's honestly, like, up until this past, when they announced this match, I was like, oh, right, they're feuding?
Yeah.
I guess, because Dean keeps getting, you know, powerbombed by Luke. And I guess that makes him angry.
It's like the two guys that remember the Wyatt versus Shield feud. But we're going.
We're still doing this. Let's
Everybody's
do this.
Like, all right, I guess.
It's like, all right, go for it.
I mean, I guess they got more for Luke to do than Eric Rowan. Eric Rowan is, like, got the short end of the straw.
I mean, well, when we saw the Wyatts, and we're like, okay, well, you know, we can see Bray going off doing big things. Luke, he can possibly do big things, but he'll probably mostly stay in the mid card. And then with Eric, we're like, you know, I don't know where they're gonna go with this.
Yeah, I mean, that's the Shield broke up weird, and like, I didn't expect people to go in that direction. But Wyatt family is pretty much broken up the exact right way.
It was like, you know, let's all, you know, we're still family, but, you know, I release you.
Yeah.
They're a pack of thumbs.
I guess Luke has a match on a pay-per-view and Bray Wyatt doesn't.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay, look.
Pause for a moment.
Yeah. Because Bray seems like he's very specifically talking to one person.
Yeah.
Who is that person?
I think they're going the anonymous general manager route, where they're just going to
have him just talk about somebody until they come up with a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so be really excited in about a year and a half when he reveals that it's been Hornswoggle this whole time.
I don't know, he might. I wouldn't be surprised if he did some sort of reveal or like interrupt it in a match or something like that.
Maybe, I'm kind of... So the whole props to Bray carried that him and Taker feud by himself. Mm-hmm. Like, it's You know, like, Taker literally showed up for WrestleMania, did the match, and left. Mm-hmm. Hasn't been seen before or since. He was just there for that WrestleMania match. But Undertaker's, you know, kind of, like, pretending he won. Like, he is not letting that loss face him at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the... Undertaker has... Not Undertaker. Who's the other guy? Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt has done the same thing since his debut, almost. He's done this mysterious, creepy mm-hmm. backwater kind of...
Backwoods?
Yes.
Yeah.
Backwater's a thing.
Maybe.
It's just the character that he's done, he's been doing this character. It's gotten a little less culty and a little more supernaturally.
Yeah.
Like, but that's the big character adjustment that's, quote-unquote, been made. And it's just, I feel like the illusions that he's making now are the exact same power that the Follow the Buzzard stuff and the Sister Abigail references were. Right. And I'm sitting there being like, oh, who's Sister Abigail? And I feel like nothing Bray Wyatt promo-wise has played out yet.
Right.
So, while I don't want to diminish the three or so promos he had building up that whole WrestleMania feud by himself, for the most part, I'm just kind of done with Bray Wyatt promos until something happens.
Right.
I've seen all the trailers for that movie. I'm ready for the movie now.
And you think that's kind of a byproduct of him like losing two WrestleManias in a row, or is it just him just kind of not really deviating much?
I think it's a good character that they don't have anything for. Right. Because I do think, you know, I think that they're really leaning on this crutch that we can just point a camera at him, he can spout crazy talk for 4 minutes,
mm-hmm.
get the character on the show, you know, and they just...
And honestly, that just might be where he's at for the next month or so.
Yeah, I mean...
That's fine, whatever.
I mean, 3 hours to fill, fine. I'm not going to be interested anymore.
Right, until he actually, like... comes out and has a thing with somebody that ends up being interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And lasting.
Okay.
Okay, here's the thing. Bray Wyatt has had zero effect on the WWE universe.
Okay.
He just has. He came out, it was time to face Kane, because Kane was kind of the creepy guy stand-in at the time, and he took Kane out.
Yeah.
And that was it. And I was like, oh, he means business. He is shaking things up. He took Kane out.
Mm-hmm.
And then nothing. He did some stuff with Daniel Bryan, and he converted Daniel Bryan, but he didn't. It was only for like a week. Like, I get that was going to be longer. That's our fault, not WWE's fault, because that was during the, you know,
right.
Yeselmania thing. So that's how it should have been done. But, you know... As much as you're like, oh, that hurt Randy Orton, that hurt Batista, that really hurt Bray Wyatt.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like, so Bray Wyatt has had no effect on that. Bray Wyatt has feuded with Dean Ambrose, and will show, you know, make Dean Ambrose see what fear really is like, and nothing. Like, I guess he won the feud, because the feud's over, and he won their last match.
Yeah.
But it had no character effect. I mean, Dean Ambrose was on the next day, so just find somebody else. Have a new goal.
Mm-hmm.
He has challenged the Undertaker for the new face of fear and got shot down. So other than he took Kane out right at the beginning, but other than that, he's had no effect on the WWE universe. And now that Kane is back, because we knew Kane would come back, but he's done nothing to continue that, oh, I'm here and I mean business mm-hmm. feeling. So what little he had right at the beginning is kind of washed away. So Bray Wyatt is this very creepy, very scary dude that's just kind of, as a result, never backed that up.
Gotcha.
He failed with Daniel Bryan. He failed with John Cena. He failed with Dean Ambrose. And in all that time, he's also lost the two followers he had. So if anything, he's backtracking.
Mm-hmm.
So he needs something. He needs...
Do you think he needs more of a following as far as, like, other guys?
That's the easy answer. That's the easy, yeah, that's what he needs. And I don't have a better thing for that. Mm-hmm. But he needs more than checked in the win column.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you look at other guys, you look at guys like Randy Orton. Randy Orton, at that point in his career, was destroying people.
But he was also destroying people that weren't on the show from week to week. Like, you know, the whole Legend Killer thing.
Yeah.
Like, he was... Legends would come out, and he would take them out, and they would be, you know, not on the show next week. Well, they weren't on the show the week before, you know? Right.
And that's that was something...
very convenient, you know.
It was, but it worked.
Yeah.
It showed that Randy Orton had an effect on the WWE Universe as a whole. That's kind of... You know, even... And don't take this as an endorsement for Monster Builds, but Rusev had the same thing, where he just beating everybody is the easy way to do that, and is overused, thus to the point where it's not as effective as it once was.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that Rusev made an impact because literally nobody could beat him for months at a time. And so part of it is, like, now we will have to see if Rusev can swim without that.
Right.
And we will find that out. But Bray Wyatt needs something. Bray Wyatt needs... And so, I don't have a better answer, so right. The thing is...
He needs something to carry him...
He needs...
As long as he's going to stay the course as far as his character and everything.
Yeah.
He needs something to kind of carry him over.
Yeah, and for lack of a better idea, he needs followers.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the kind of things, like, you get... And it doesn't have to be Cena. Like, you get Zack Ryder, who you got nothing for right now. And, you know, you just, you have him, you can do it over the course of, like, 3 weeks. You have Zack Ryder, whose character right now, whether it's intentional or not, his character is complaining about the WWE.
Or complaining that he's never on the show or whatever.
Right, right. So you work that in, you have him complain to Heath Slater. In a little backstage segment. And then you have Bray Wyatt do this, I can help. You can even do it goofy in the mirror, turn around and he's not there kind of way, like the goofy supernatural thing. You can do it that way if you want. But just like over the course of 3 weeks, he just kind of like, I can help, and brainwashes Zack Ryder into following Bray Wyatt out.
Right.
It's a dude you're not working with,
mm-hmm.
But it gives Bray Wyatt
bodies.
It's not even that. It's just an effect. It's a lasting effect. Mm. It is a payoff of the promises made. Bray Wyatt has not followed through on any promise that he's made.
Yeah, like I would kind of envision like what Bray's was originally aiming for was almost like a new updated version of Ministry of Darkness with Undertaker. Like,
yeah.
He had a following, and, you know, it just seemed like every week or however so often it was, more and more people were getting, you know, possessed or whatever. They were joining or, you know, and I kind of felt like they were eventually going to do that. Like, you know, especially when they got to the point where, you know, they were, like, having matches with the guys, and he would take them out, and then he would, like, literally carry them off.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, like, all right, well, I guess next week they're going to be part of the Wyatt family because they're going to brainwash them or something, you know? And that's kind of the angle they went with Daniel Bryan, but Daniel Bryan's like, oh, no, the Yes is too strong. Yes is going to live forever. Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
You know?
Which, again, that was our fault.
No, yeah, it was absolutely.
And we stand by it. That was our fault, not your fault. Can't really blame you for not keeping Daniel Bryan there. But that's... Every guy comes out with a promise to shake things up.
Yeah.
That's what you do when you come out as a new wrestler. And
very few actually do.
Well, that's the thing. Is like when you don't, you become Adam Rose.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Adam Rose is, you know, effectively a jobber now.
Yeah. When did the Rosebuds actually, like, attack people afterwards?
This is the first time. Because he was going up against a guy who could... shell shock two people at once. Remember when he could do that?
Yeah, but as he said, it was funny because they were food. I legit popped for that. Ryback became my favorite guy ever.
You nerd. This is why we can't have nice
just things. Because he was like, it's funny because it's food. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, probably something that was said like behind the scenes whenever they were planning the segment. And he was just like, okay, whatever. And then like, it was kind of like a... I don't know if it was like a sarcastic way of saying it, but it amused the hell out of me.
We don't like segments that involve Ryback and food, remember? Those are the rules.
Why do you see? Yeah, I was up, and then you brought me right back down, and now all I can think about is that food just
come back down to my level.
Back down so deep in that dude here.
Don't enjoy it up there if I'm not up there. Back down to my level.
We should get back to the card.
Yeah, where are we at? Can we do it with Roman Reigns?
Big Show, Last Man Standing match. Do you think that the statute of limitations has passed on the use of duct tape? Because I feel like that's something they would have Roman Reigns do.
Yeah.
Last time it was used on Big Show, and Big Show struggled to do a sit-up.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Thus in the match.
It's like, that's...
Both was John Cena, though. Mm-hmm. I think both was John Cena, I believe.
Was it? John Cena was the first time. Was it Cena and Batista for the...
I think it was Cena and Big Show. So. I think. If I had put money on it.
I mean, I'm predicting Roman.
No, I take that back. It was Big Show.
It was Del Rio, wasn't it?
Del Rio, yeah.
So I'm predicting Roman.
Are you gonna... I'm predicting Roman as well.
I feel like now that we're safely out of that danger zone of WrestleMania, we'll start building. Here's the thing now. You have a year to actually build up Roman as believable. Like, that's the thing.
They're not going to wait that long.
Well, no. I mean, that's the... Till next WrestleMania.
I say by SummerSlam, Roman is the champ. By the end of SummerSlam.
By the end of SummerSlam.
Roman Reigns is the champion.
No.
I'm not saying I'm going to like it, but I fully think that will happen.
I don't think that will happen.
I don't know.
Maybe. But yeah, Roman wins, and I do think there will be some shenanigans. I hope it's not duct tape. Well...
Just you wait, bro.
Well, no, that's the thing. Like, duct tape was really creative the first time.
Yeah, and Batista was laying face down.
Yeah.
So it didn't look dumb. It looked dumb when Big Show was face up and he had to do a sit-up.
I mean, I'll even say, like, the second time. I was like, you know what? That duct tape was a clever thing. And you've waited a while.
It was like two, three years, maybe.
Whatever. You waited long enough.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it's been long enough this time. So.
Now it's been like 2 years, I think.
Yeah.
It was the brief time when Del Rio was a face.
Yeah, it was Del Rio.
So that was pre WrestleMania 29. So it's been 2 years, some change.
Okay.
So it's around that time. That's why I brought it up, because I feel like it was around 2 years when they used it the second time. It's been 2 years since then, so I feel like Duct Tape 3, Revenge.
The duct tapening.
The duct tapening. The duckening. I don't know. I feel like it might rear its ugly, single-sided head.
All right. That's a possibility. I gotta say, we all gotta be prepared.
That yep.
That's a serious possibility. Nikki Bella versus Naomi.
Okay. Nikki, I guess? I don't know. It's...
You know what? I honestly feel like you guys are trying on the... Give Divas a Chance thing right here.
Okay.
It's, you know what, it was...
And by you guys, you mean WWE.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I gave them a very hard time. I expected a lot. You said you were going to do it, and I expect a lot out of this. Mm-hmm. And
I mean, granted, they seem to be getting longer matches on Raw.
Well, there's longer matches on Raw. Naomi, I'm really enjoying this character. I'm enjoying this character of somebody who is... commenting on previous wins,
mm-hmm.
and that's not leading to championship matches like it should in any sort of organized sport.
Mm-hmm.
I'm liking that. I'm liking I'm liking that the characters want the title.
Right.
Nobody's mad at anybody for stealing anybody's boyfriend or haircut right now.
Right, and they're just concentrating solely on the title.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
I don't know if they're behind Naomi enough yet to put the championship on her just yet. But then again, they don't really... It's not like WWE has to be fully behind a diva right now to put the championship on her.
Yeah.
So maybe that just doesn't play into effect in their mindset with the divas. I don't know.
The thing is, we got a heel versus heel match here.
Yeah, we do.
When's the last time we've had a heel versus heel match?
I have a feeling it hasn't been that long, but
I think it was. I think it was Ziggler versus Swagger when their tag team broke up.
That was a triple threat match. Mm. They had Rob Van Dam in that.
No, No. Before that, this is before Rob Van Dam even came back. This is back when Vicky was managing the two of them.
Sure.
I'm sure because I had to check.
Yeah, well, see, that was the thing. Like that was.
No, I remember having.
I feel to... like that was the thing. Like that was when Rob.
No, this was before Rob Van Dam came back because I had to check because I.
Oh,
like...
I'm mixing up Swagger and Cesaro. That's
oh, no.
What it was.
No, not that.
Okay. Okay. You might very well be right.
Because I was like, I know I was cheering for Ziggler, but I think he was still a heel. And right. I checked, and he was definitely still a heel at the time. So that's the last heel versus heel match.
Okay. I have a feeling it's happened since then, but okay.
It might have on, like, main event or something, but on a pay-per-view or an episode of Raw, I don't think it's happened.
All right. I mean, I'll take your word for it.
I'm going to go Nikki, though.
Yeah. I really want Naomi to win.
I do, too. Like, I won't be sad if Naomi wins.
I feel like just... give her, like, another month or so with this character. And I'm really hoping it's not, like, a crazy Alicia Fox thing, because I love crazy Alicia Fox.
I like crazy Alicia Fox. That felt like somebody was giving some divas a chance there.
Right, and that lasted, like, 2 months, and, like, okay, well, all right, well, she's out of the... We had our different person challenge for the title, so now we can just, you know, shuffle her back to the back of the line or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that that's not the case with this Naomi thing.
I hope not.
It is weird that she's still coming out with the Funkadactyls theme.
Yeah.
Like, that's a little too happy for her character.
It's a little weird. Best case scenario from this, I would feel like if you have Paige interrupt, then you have a Paige-Naomi feud, mm-hmm. and you have another diva going for the title, and you have two diva storylines going on at the same time.
Which I feel like wasn't... so long since we had that.
No, but like that's
because we had the Divas Champ. Because last year we had the Divas Championship, and then whatever Nikki was doing with, or what Brie was doing with Stephanie.
Brie and Stephanie was the second Divas storyline, and that's the thing. I was like, that should not be that hard.
No,
to ask for two separate Divas storylines in a 3-hour show.
Yeah. I'm okay with that. Like the Naomi and Paige thing break off because Paige can, you know. She was in the championship storyline for a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, for a solid year, pretty much. So, having her do something away from the title, and, you know, because I have all the faith in the world that Paige can be in a storyline and not rely on the title being the focus.
Yeah.
You know? And with this Naomi character, you know, we're seeing the beginnings of it, and it's interesting so far, so hopefully they can carry it beyond this. And keep it interesting away from the title. Yeah. I don't know. I have a feeling I feel like it's more likely that the next pay-per-view we're just going to have a 3-way between Nikki, Naomi, and Paige.
That's very possible, too.
Yeah. I feel like that's the more likely avenue that they're going to take with this. But, you know, we can hope.
Next up is Dolph Ziggler versus Sheamus.
Oh, my God, this match. Okay, here's the thing. I think that there's, like, some kind of... I don't want to say conspiracy, but I feel like there's some sort of rib on Michael Cole. Of, like, let's come up with, like, the dumbest-sounding things that Cole is going to be forced to repeat over and over again. WLC, or a stairs match, or TLCS, or whatever.
Yeah.
A Kiss Me Arse match?
Yep. A Kiss Me Arse match.
So, the loser. The only way to...
Okay, I'm not clear, because I'm basing this off of the Kiss My Foot match.
Right.
From...
where and that was
between JR and Michael Cole.
Where the loser, the person who got pinned, mm-hmm. had to kiss the foot.
Yes.
It wasn't of... who could ever make the other person kiss
right,
his
no,
foot.
It was a normal match with a pinfall and then a punishment
like
for the loser.
Like a hair versus hair match.
Yes.
You know, whoever loses mm-hmm. has to shave their head or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes a little bit more sense. But you can never tell with that movie.
No.
it's just weird because I'm trying to, like, envision in my head poor Eden having to announce that, having to explain this match first. Like, the loser of this match has to kiss me arse. If she has to say it like that, then I feel like Stardust has a thing or two to say about that.
I guess Ziggler. I can't.
And I mean, we've seen enough of Ziggler's butt anyway.
Yeah.
So we all, it's old news. Just go for it.
I feel like because it's a kiss me arse match that they're gonna like lean into the Sheamus thing and like.
Yeah, clear. You don't say.
Well, like I'm saying, like the and Sheamus is the heel, so he'll be the one that once the match is over, he'll be the one to force the arse kissery.
Okay.
You know. But I can't do it. I can't predict Sheamus to beat Dolph Ziggler. I can't do it.
I don't know.
I can't do it.
Just seeing and knowing how much they like getting behind Sheamus, I feel like they really want to make this heel Sheamus thing a thing.
They do, but as much as first of all, I'm currently winning, so I can afford to be selfish in these predictions.
Of course, that's why.
And second of all, if this was a Dolph Ziggler versus Sheamus in a Sheamus wins match, I would predict Dolph Ziggler. I can't do it.
All right.
I can't do it. Next up is...
I didn't pick, by the way.
Do you want to pick Sheamus?
I'm going to pick Sheamus.
I'm not
happy about it, and I don't want it to happen.
You butt.
But think about it. Ziggler, if he's got to pull down the trunks, there's going to be a big color contrast. Because we've already seen that accidentally a couple times. Sheamus, I feel like it's just more of the same. So it's like we're already used to it, I guess.
All right.
Not going to be happy about it.
No.
So, Sheamus.
Daniel Bryan versus Bad News Barrett.
So is this match still happening? Because there's like all these rumors with Daniel Bryan being injured and he wasn't on Raw. But then again, I don't think neither was Bad News Barrett. They might pull this match at the last
minute. You think just pull it entirely?
Yeah. Either way, Daniel Bryan's going to be the champion. If this match does happen and this whole injury thing was at work for some weird reason or whatever.
It's a weird work.
I know. Stranger things have happened. Unless it's not at work and injuries are more serious and they need to put the belt on Barrett, but I feel like there's...
I know, so which way are you going?
I think... If it's an injury, knowing that this day and age, they would either just strip him of the title, as we saw last year, or just leave the belt on him for right now until they... Just kind of wait it out a little bit, see how it comes out. Because what I hear right now is that the current injury that he has is going to be about a month, which isn't terrible.
Yeah.
And then again, they only thought the neck injury last year was six weeks.
Yeah.
So
you're going Daniel Bryan?
Just for this, I feel like Daniel Bryan will still be champion at the end of the night.
Okay, so who do you think's going to win this match?
You saw through my ruse. I'll go Daniel Bryan.
Whatever. All right, I'm going Bad News.
Okay.
So I don't know. I feel like that they're gonna be cautious with the Daniel Bryan injury.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm predicting champions to retain in every other championship match. So throw a little variety in there. Cena versus Rusev.
Yeah, so this match was... Because I just thought it was going to be like a chair match, but with a...
I'm glad that John Cena took the time to explain to everyone the rules of a Russian chain match. It's a strap match, you guys.
Yeah, it's a strap match.
Strap match.
Which means they get to use the lights.
Yep.
Yay! Joel is so happy about this.
You know what? Here's the thing.
They only got to use those lights once.
Maybe every third year or so... They pull out the strap match idea again to see if it's a good idea this time around.
But they changed it to a Russian chain, though.
And every time it's not. But every time I'm like, you know what? Good on them for trying something new. Even though it's not new, because they tried it years ago and it didn't work back then. It's like the Ring of Fire
match. But it wasn't a Russian chain. It was just the strap.
It's like the Ring of Fire match, where they wait long enough.
Oh, yeah.
You'll kind of swing back around to that. They're doing good new things. They're trying. That's what's important.
Right. Well, okay, the Ring of Fire match was like, okay, well, it's fire, so we can't really use the ropes that well. And it's not a... I forgot what the original... Whenever they first did the ring...
It was an Inferno match.
Inferno match, yeah, there you go. Where the objective was to set your opponent on fire.
Yeah.
You know.
So
Ring of Fire match was really just a fire avoidance match.
Yeah. Honestly, this is probably not a bad idea because Cena can retain without Rusev looking too weak or getting pinned again.
Or Rusev could win without pinning Cena.
That's true as well. But I like this open challenge thing, and I'd like it to continue. And they paid for a John Cena U.S. Champion t-shirt.
Yeah. So no, I agree. Yeah.
I'm going John Cena.
No, me too.
All right. Finally, we have the Seth Rollins versus Randy Orton, with Kane as the cage's gatekeeper.
Yeah, now seeing that typed in front of me doesn't make it sound less nerdy. I'm the gatekeeper, you guys. Mm-hmm. Yay.
Who do you think's going to win this one?
I feel like Seth is still going to win this. I don't know. And what... brief little side note. What's going on with this whole, like... curb stomp is banned thing. Some people are saying it's banned. It was like this whole big thing before Raw, and then lo and behold, Seth Rollins uses a new finisher Monday night, and now reports are like, oh no, it's not being banned. They're just changing his finisher
so
into another modified DDT or something like that.
Yeah, what he did on Ziggler.
Yeah.
So I've heard. I haven't heard anything reputable say it's banned. Mm-hmm. I've heard more reputable stuff say it's not banned. Just Meltzer said it wasn't banned.
Yeah.
So that there's so one.
He was the one that said that it's not banned. They're just trying.
They're just
something.
Trying something different.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's just like you have like one of the most athletic guys you've ever seen, you've ever had on your rosters, and you give him a DDT.
Well, part of the thing is like.
Now, granted, he's not gonna. Out flip Adrian Neville. So
no, here's
Red Arrow-esque type stuff is kind of just, you know, no, I might as well not even try, but still.
Basically, if the doctor took a look at Daniel Bryan and said, this man is injured because somebody's been curb stomping him, then okay, like, but other than that, I don't know what has caused, like, a sudden we shouldn't be doing the curb stomp.
Yeah, because it seemed very sudden.
Yeah.
It became a story, like, Monday afternoon. It kind of came out of nowhere.
Especially with a finisher being banned as a in kayfabe subplot.
Right.
On the, you know.
I mean, if they. Because now it's just going to be swept in the rug and WWE's never going to talk about it. They're like, oh, no. You know, for the same reason why the Randy Orton punt kick.
Punt, yeah.
Has been taken out. Punt kick is redundant, I know. But. It's one of those things like they just don't talk about it and you don't do it, you know? I feel like a better way of going about that was maybe make that a stipulation of, like, you know, if Seth Rollins loses, he can never use he'll lose the championship and can never use the curb stomp again or something along those lines. It's not outside of the realm of possibility to work something in to where they come up with a reason for him not to use it.
But, honestly, it might be that they don't like the curb stomp for whatever reason. They don't want to ban it because, you know, because like the punt, you know, every now and then Randy Orton gets in the corner and starts lining up a punt and everybody goes, ooh.
Right.
Even though it didn't connect with the punt, everybody's excited. And so, you know what? Like, yeah, maybe once every 6 months, give it a Mania moment or a pay-per-view moment. You know,
but see, that's the difference. Like, Randy Orton has not punted anybody.
Yeah.
It's been years, but he'll still set up for it, and people are like, oh my goodness, but he never actually pulls the trigger, so to speak, or something happens where somebody gets in the way or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? And, I don't know, it's kind of added some, I don't know if mystique is the right word, but it's added a little weight to the punt. Because he hasn't used it in, like, 4 years or whatever.
Yeah.
But he'll still, like, you know, hint at it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I feel like,
yeah, it's probably more of they just don't like the finisher or whatever and they want to change it.
Yeah.
I feel like that's more realistic.
I mean, part of it is that's kind of a, not hard, but like, uniquely challenging finisher to set up. Like, right. RKO is really easy to set up. Attitude Adjustment is really easy to set up.
He has to be on his feet.
Curb Stomp is a little bit closer to the 619 end of the spectrum, where it's like, that happens in every single match.
Right.
It's not 619 levels, but it's on that end of the spectrum rather than...
Right, you can definitely see the person setting themselves up for it. Yeah.
Right. And maybe they just don't want that.
They just got bad timing about that because, you know... It was the curb stomp that led to the greatest RKO of all time that people are still talking about to this day.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's...
That's part of the thing. Like, well, I'm glad they waited till after WrestleMania. Because Randy Orton has basically just done impressive RKOs since then.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, that's just been the thing he does. Like, the pulling him off the...
Ever since it became like a Vine meme or whatever...
Yeah.
That's kind of been his shtick, which is fine. It's much more interesting than anything else he's been doing.
Well, it's creative. I'm like, all right, how are you going to...
Right, and I feel like, you know, that's his strongest thing is in his entire WWE career is, like, finding new ways to do this move, and, you know...
Well, it's kind of like the, how's Kofi not going to get eliminated this year?
Right.
Like, how's anyone going to figure out how to do an RKO this time?
Right.
So, all right, I guess that's all the picks. That's 8 matches. Golly.
I know.
It feels like they've hardly promoted these matches.
Right. It does. And a lot of these, they literally put together, you know, the Monday night before.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I feel the same way. So, on that lovely note, what's making you happy, Joel?
You go first.
I don't necessarily have anything set up, Joel. As the weekend is coming up, yes. Friday.
I'm gonna take Heather's making me happy. Her favorite thing on Raw this week was Bo Dallas coming back and using Star Wars Episode 1 Phantom Menace as the best Star Wars.
Yeah.
As a way to get cheap heat.
That was who knew that would actually work with a Raw crowd? Okay.
I'm like, that was a little bit, I was like, yeah.
What am I thinking? There's absolutely something that's making me happy that wasn't a thing the last time I recorded.
Non-wrestling related. I know it's
the teaser trailer.
Yeah, Star Wars teaser trailer.
All right, so let's go to the Star Wars segment of the podcast. So how excited are you now, even more so?
You guys, here's what it is. As someone who's watched the trailer several times.
Not me. Me too. I've watched Matthew McConaughey watch it.
It's three things. It's mm-hmm. One is it's the music and mm-hmm. the sound design. The music is Star Wars music
mm-hmm.
without being the Star Wars music we've heard before.
Right. It's new Star Wars music with that same feel as only, you know, John Williams can do.
Right. And that's the thing is like, I've watched really good fan films
mm-hmm.
that have basically new and successful footage of the Millennium Falcon and of X-Wing. And
yeah.
It looks like it could be out of those movies. I the video games I played or whatever that have, you know, practically, you know, on par footage
mm-hmm.
at this point. But they've always recycled the same music from the same 6 scores right. that they had before.
Right.
And there's new music and it still sounds like Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
There's that. There's the sound design. Just the noises that the things make sound right.
Right.
And again, people have emulated that and have used a lot of, you know, bits from the you know, movies right. that have. But the sounds are meant to line up right, and they line up right, and it's perfect. And the third thing is Harrison Ford still knows how to act. Harrison Ford's been grumpy Harrison Ford for like 9 movies.
Yeah.
And that's fine, because he's earned it.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely.
Like... But since 2009, he's just played the same grumpy Harrison Ford.
But we got to see Harrison Ford as Han Solo with, like, a little bit of, like, wonderment, I guess.
I mean, that's the thing. Is like
or just this fondness of where he is.
He said 3 words. Yeah. But, like, I was watching him, like, he's Han Solo. And yeah. It's Han Solo the character.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not... And that was... Part of the thing was, like, you know what? Part of the thing that was making me, like... hold myself together and not totally fall apart at the concept of this movie. It was like, Han Solo is, like, Harrison Ford is going to come in and be the grumpiest, old maniest Han Solo ever. And he's just, and I'm like, yeah, and it's still going to be great. I'm still going to love it. But, like, there's going to be this, like, thing that, and like, three words. And I'm like, nope, I expect nothing less than the greatest movie of all time.
Right.
That's how it's going to work here. All right. I'm glad we all solved that problem. And we all know that we're watching the movie change all movies.
Right. And, I mean, we still got, there's still a lot of mystery surrounding the plot of exactly who's what.
Yeah.
I feel like we now have a better idea of, you know, who the movies is going to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know why or what brings them together or whatever. And that's fine. Like, I don't want to be told too much anyway.
Right.
Even though I keep, like, clamoring for more details, more details. But I want more details as far as, like, we all know who is in the cast. I just want to know who's playing who.
Yeah.
Beyond, you know, of course, the veterans that are coming back. Like, I still want to know what Domhnall Gleeson's doing or, the guy from Girls, I keep forgetting his name.
Yeah.
The guy who everyone assumed is going to be the villain.
No. I mean, I'm.
You know, I want to know what Andy Serkis is doing, if he's like the little weird yellow character that's handing over the lightsaber.
I'm pretty much. What I'm doing is, because I can't get to the point where, A, I can, like, I'm not going to be able to, like, shut out all Star Wars information between now and December.
Yeah.
One, because I'm weak.
And two, it's going to be everywhere.
Yeah, it's going
to
be everywhere.
Star Wars is such a big cultural phenomenon. Like, you're not going to be able... Like, we have a friend, Logan, who has still yet to see any trailer footage.
Yeah?
And he's...
Is he trying?
He's purposely doing that. And, you know, I joked about it because we were all at Joel's bachelor party this past weekend. We were in a line at the trampoline place. I was talking to Scott behind him, but making sure I was loud enough to where Logan could hear me. But I was talking about Scott. I was like, yeah, so it was really weird that teaser show where Darth Maul comes back and just totally beheads Chewbacca. Didn't see that coming. And why would they put that in the trailer? It's so weird. And, like, for a brief second, Logan had, like, this panic look on his face. I was like, think about what I just said. I was like, okay.
It's
a daunting task to avoid that.
Right. That, first of all, like, that's the thing. Like, you know, I'm weak. I can't do it. Plus, it's going to be everywhere. So what I'm doing is, like, anything that's, like, official, hey, look at this from Lucasfilm, I'm going to watch trailers, posters.
Yeah.
I'm going to do.
I'm the same way.
Any like, behind-the-scenes footage, all that stuff where they, like, people, like, taking pictures of the movie made, I'm like, I'm going to avoid that.
Right.
Anything that they don't want me to see before I see the movie, I'm going to avoid.
Any sort of leak or whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I saw those, like, I think it was on TMZ or whatever.
Yeah.
Leak set photos, and it's like, yeah, it looks like, you know, a desert planet. We thought it was Tatooine, apparently it's not.
It's not.
It's Jakku or whatever.
But it was the whole thing where I was like, you know, I'm going to avoid that.
So... here's my follow-up question to that. They announced the next celebration is going to be in London. Are you taking a London trip next year?
Oh.
I think it's next year.
Mm.
But I feel like, I don't know, when they do the ones in Europe, it doesn't feel like they always do it because, like, they're going to reveal something big or whatever. It's just like, we're here in Europe, hi.
Yeah, at least
that's the one in Germany felt like.
The Europe ones aren't as big.
But London, I feel like, is going to be a huge deal.
I mean, part of it is, like, it'd be nice to go to London.
And, you know, majority of what they film was done in London.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot.
That's the way it's been for most of the movies, yeah.
So there's a lot to do in London. Plus, they're making the movie every year now, so there is stuff to talk about.
Well, yeah, it's going to be, like... side movies, though.
Yeah.
You know, like I feel like they'll probably come back to the States for the next, you know.
Yeah, that is. But you know what? I'm excited about those side movies.
Oh, yeah, me too. I have a little bit of more information went out with,
Rogue One.
Rogue One. Where they're like, well, it's going to be more like a war movie, but set in the Star Wars universe. It's going to be like these people who are facing an intense situation that don't necessarily have, like, special powers or whatever. No, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm completely excited for that. I'm excited for any of the standalone movies, regardless of what the character is. Like, I'll even be excited for a Boba Fett movie.
Yep.
And I can't stand Boba Fett.
Shit,
he's
face.
Overrated. I'm sorry.
Shit, face. Boba Fett's amazing. All right.
He dies like a punk.
Dude, all right, he doesn't. That's the point. It's Schrodinger's Sarlacc right now. We don't know he's both alive and dead in there. Because it's a brand new canon.
Because they pretty much erased all canon. All right.
Yep.
Fair enough. I just I just take all the movies at face value because I feel like that's what George Lucas wants us to do. Because when we look too far into it, he's forced to retcon this junk. Okay? And I feel like that annoys him.
He just wants to make his car movie.
Right? And on that note, it's time for the mail sack.
Mail sack, mail sack. Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack. Let's all go inside. Mail sack, mail sack. Why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack. It's
all right, we've got a couple from at Evil Jackalopes. First one, he's talking about Cena and Rusev. So, C-Nation used to be the chain gang. Well, Cena's weapon of choice was a chain of luck. So even in kayfabe, that makes Rusev an idiot. it's like going, all right, here's my own commentary on it. It's like going up to Triple H, he's like, you know what? Every foreign object is banned for you. Except for a sledgehammer, you know?
But let's... Wasn't it Nash's idea to do sledgehammer ladder match?
Oh, yeah.
So there's precedent for this idiocy.
It sure was. Not saying it's a good precedent, but it is a precedent.
Yeah. So, yeah, we will definitely say, like, that can totally happen.
Mm-hmm. All right, also from at Evil Jackalopes on Twitter, going off of our way too early predictions of last week, and I can't believe I didn't bring this up, he wants us to give three guesses as to who's going to go in the Hall of Fame next week. Okay. Or next year, I'm sorry.
Yeah, next week. Okay, so you got three?
I've got three. Not necessarily thinking that they will all go in, but I feel like at least one of them will.
Okay.
I'm going to just talk about them one at a time.
All right.
I've got Undertaker.
Okay.
What's one of yours?
I got Undertaker.
Okay. JBL.
JBL.
All right, this is my dark horse.
Okay.
The third one. Okay. I've got Vader.
Okay.
Okay. You know, they involved him in the Raw 1000. We haven't really seen him since.
Mm-hmm.
And I just recently watched the Beyond the Ropes thing that they put on on the network. The big man, the giant.
It's like
a documentary, and they had like a little short little documentary segment on all these guys, and one of them was on Vader. I was like, I wonder when he went to the Hall of Fame. I looked and he was not in the Hall of Fame. I was like, I feel like he probably should at some point.
Yeah.
You know, for his work in WCW and WWE.
Yeah.
And Japan.
Vader's a good point.
Yeah.
I think it's very possible Sting could
go in. That was the thing. Like, I didn't want to put him and Taker and Sting on the same.
Because
part of me was like, there's a point of pride if I get all three of these guys in the Hall of Fame next year.
Right.
You know, JBL because of, you know, his Texas. Whatever. Undertaker because of Texas. And he probably should have gone in a while ago.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's close enough to the end of his... Because I still feel like this next WrestleMania is going to be his last.
Mm-hmm.
I still feel that way. So I feel like, you know, he's probably the only other wrestler other than, like, Ric Flair that could go into the Hall of Fame while still technically,
active
on the roster.
Yeah.
But yeah, Sting, like, as far as, like, timing, it makes sense.
Yeah, also Owen Hart.
Yeah, I feel like though legal issues with his wife or something along those lines has kind of hindered them from doing that in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's one of those things like it feels like it's, you know, it's time to finally.
It feels like he will be.
Yeah,
He's one of like
so especially since you know they've already like you know smoothed things over with
part of the thing is like Brett. In the past 2 years there's been a list of like. How are these guys not in the Hall of Fame?
Mm-hmm.
Which is basically like Bruno Sammartino, Ultimate Warrior.
All the guys that they
inducted. And Macho Man.
Yeah.
And so like that list has like gotten whittled down pretty badly.
So now like the only people that are on that list that should go in the Hall of Fame is probably like Owen Hart and China.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't see them putting in China anytime.
So like Owen Hart was my like, you know.
Unless somebody does a complete 180, yeah.
Or if you know anybody dies between now and then.
Right. I don't know. I don't know if next year would be the year that they put in Owen. They should.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to argue with you on that at all. It's just I don't know how probable it is.
Yeah.
You know? And see, I don't know the ins and outs of, you know, whatever issues between his wife and the family and the company. Well, I don't know.
Owen is in this weird situation where, like, with Macho Man, it got more ridiculous every year that he wasn't going right. in.
And honestly, like...
And with Owen, it's not quite like that. He didn't...
I feel like it's... Now that Savage has gone into, like, I feel like Owen Hart is the logical next guy to point to and be like, why is he in there, you know?
Yeah.
Now that they've crossed that out, like, you know, because the fans are always going to find that one person and be like, hey, he needs to be in. Why is he not in, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Owen Hart absolutely should be. And I feel like, you know, WWE would be more than happy to, like, those that that short documentary of, like, the 50-year history of WWE and, like, specifically had a section just for Owen,
mm-hmm.
you know, because that was a big, that was a big moment for WWE's history. And I feel, I might have to rewatch it, but I feel like they even included his wife in that. So there's at least that much of a communication going. Now that I think about it, I'm not sure if she was or not. But I feel like that shows at least a willingness of WWE showing, like, he was a major player in our company. What happened to him deeply affected us, and he should, you know, we still think of him incredibly fondly, as they should.
Yeah.
So I feel like once they get the conversation going, I feel like they could work it out.
Okay. All right. Do you have a prediction for the Warrior Award?
No, I have no idea. I don't know how they're going to go year to year with that.
What
There's no Connor. Like,
yeah.
Connor's a once in a lifetime story, once in a lifetime kid. You know, yeah. I don't know.
So, well, that's kind of the thing is like they did it for this, and now I'm like, well,
and absolutely it felt absolutely fitting.
It's you know, and like. They did take some liberties with what Warrior was saying when he was talking about that.
Because really, he was talking about the like behind-the-scenes people, like the crew, production people.
Well, there's people who like are deserving, but maybe not for their wrestling skills. Like, Vince McMahon, as a wrestler, should not go in.
No, but Vince McMahon...
But as a character and as a businessman, definitely deserves it. So, and I don't know if he wants to give himself the Warrior Award. Like, that's...
Right.
It will be a touchy subject when Vince is inducted.
Into the Hall of Fame.
I feel like Vince will be inducted after his death.
Right. And, like, and I've often wondered, you know... Because we all know Triple H is going to go in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I just wonder how they would handle that. Because I'm assuming... Probably not, you know, because they like to go with... You know, have one guy be the big draw for the Hall of Fame, whatever. I feel like one of those years is going to be like, all right, well, we need somebody, so let's put Triple H in. And at that point, he's probably going to be running it or still in a big time position of power. So the fans are going to feel kind of iffy about that, especially if he's still a heel.
Just say it depends on how they're feeling about Triple H, because people are pretty high on Triple H right now due to NXT stuff.
True.
So it kind of depends.
But some of it would. Is probably going to feel like, oh, he's inducting himself.
Maybe, know? Yeah.
To some people.
I mean, that's part of the thing. Like, I've said before, like, Eric Bischoff deserves.
Yeah. Yeah, like, he does.
Like, let's talk about people who deserve
Add him to the list of guys that should be in, or should have gone in a while ago.
Yeah.
But then again, like I said, I don't know what the relationship is between Bischoff and WWE right
now. I don't know. I mean,
I feel like it was pretty much, like, just ships in the dark right now.
Yeah, like, last I've seen Bischoff, he was... Once again, directly trying to take WWE down.
Oh, right, and TNA.
Mm-hmm. I mean, not doing a top stellar job of it, but trying all the same.
Lightning in a bottle, sir.
No, I know.
That's pretty much the only explanation there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if anyone else has any ideas of people that you think will go in the Hall of Fame, send those to our Twitter.
Yeah. As always, you can follow us on Twitter.
That was a perfect segue.
Nice job.
What I was going for.
At CR Attire, we live tweet on Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
Yep. And
including this Sunday. Yes.
We're going to be watching our pay-per-view together.
I'm excited.
It feels like it's been a while.
It does.
And if you want to, just any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those over to our email. That's classroomingattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. You can look us up there, subscribe, give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or if you write a review, that kind of stuff really helps out the podcast.
And if you're listening to us on insidepulse.com/wrestling, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you. Even you, Swayze. We love you still, Swayze, even though you're grumpy at everything.
Don't forget, we are also on Facebook. Easy way to follow us. Follow me and Chris. Just interact with us and talk about things.
Yep, absolutely.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.